us today. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse. And as always, we're wishing you the best. We're so happy to be here with our audience right here on Progressive Radio Network. And we've been one of the premier shows right here on Progressive Radio Network. This is the natural nurse and Dr. Z. We have so many classes going on, and many of them are actually free that are happening this week. So I suggest you check it out. What you can do, I'll tell you about some of them. Of course, we've switched over to many, many online kinds of virtual classes, although we're actually still having some on ground. We had one recently at Restoration Farm in Long Island, New York, where we had a lot of people. We had to limit the number. We've sometimes had 50 people, but we cut that down to 15 people, but it filled up very, very quickly. But if you go to naturalnurse.com and click on calendar, you'll see some of the classes that are coming up right now, even one today. I think there's one later today. Today there's one that has CE credits as well, but it's open to anyone who signs up. It's called Sexual Health, a Complex Balancing Act. So we're going to explore societal norms surrounding sexual attitudes. Of course, I've written many books, and one of them is called The Natural Guide to Great Sex, and the other one about sexual wellness is called Vitality and Virility. So I have tons of information on that topic. And the learning objective will be exploring social norms and also natural remedies, as well as the correct testing techniques. If you're going to a regular conventional physician, or even endocrinologist or gynecologist or urologist, they usually do not do, unfortunately, the correct testing to look at the complex interplay involving genes, hormones, and the nervous system, and looking at four critical hormones that should be tested. So you can come on board for that class. We also have one on November 14th on herbs for the spiritual season, totally free. Just go to naturalnurse.com, calendar, click on the class, and you'll see how you register. That's being put on by the library on Long Island called Brentwood Library. But of course, wherever you are, you can join in, and it's totally free. We also have a professional 3CEU. The 3CEUs are for nurses, nurse practitioners, massage therapists, dietitians, and midwives. And that's called Opiates, The Problem, Natural Solutions. So that's coming up. And if you don't need any credits, you can take the class anyway. And it can be part of your RH, or registered herbalist. For anyone who would like to become a registered herbalist, we have a full course on that. And any of the classes that we teach also will bring you to credits towards your RH, registered herbalist. And we can talk about that privately if you're interested. We also have one coming up soon, I think also this week, called hemp, THC, CBD, cannabis, endocannabinoids, what's all the buzz? That is a free presentation being put on by the American Herbalist Guild. And they told me that over 500 people have already registered for that. But you can also register for it for free, because I'm sure they have at least room for 1,000. So hemp is taking the world by storm with a dizzying variety of products and claims. Do you want to know what's true? What's hype? This presentation provides history and sound scientific data to describe the therapeutic qualities of cannabis components. And so, of course, I'm giving that lecture, and I am also on the educational committee of the American Cannabis Nurses Association. So this will be full of scientific details, as well as all kinds of information about how you can choose not only the best THC product, but the best hemp product, which doesn't involve THC, only CBD for the most part, less than 0.3%. So we'll go into all that at that lecture. And today, that kind of leads us into our topic and our guest for today. Our guest today is Mr. Charlie Wininger, and he is a psychotherapist who's going to be talking about the risks and benefits of MDMA across the adult lifespan. So this show is not for kids, not for children. Of course, parents may be listening, but we're only talking about the risks and benefits of MDMA across the adult lifespan. And just like we know that cannabis is legal in some states under various regulations and illegal in other states, although hemp, by the way, is legal across the board when there's no THC, there are also a lot of legal ramifications about our topic for today, which we'll also investigate. Charlie is the author of Listening to Ecstasy, The Transformative Power of MDMA. And he's a psychotherapist in private practice, and he's also licensed as a psychoanalyst as well as a mental health counselor. He specializes in relationships in particular and communication skills, and has been working with couples as well as individuals in his Manhattan and Brooklyn offices for over 30 years. He's been featured in the New York Times and Newsday and has been called the Love Doctor. And for the last 20 years, Charlie has been a member of the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, and that's where MDMA fits in, which funds research into the use of MDMA for treating specific issues such as PTSD, often experienced by our veterans and others, social anxiety, and other ailments. He and his wife, Shelley, have been instrumental in building a local MAPS community, MAPS community, and we'll let him tell us what that is. And he lectures on psychedelics across the lifespan and related topics. So I'm going to be talking about his book, Listening to Ecstasy, The Transformative Power of MDMA. So welcome, Charlie, to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Hello, Ellen. Thank you for having me here.
Well, you're coming in loud and clear. And we want to look at your book. It's a beautiful book, Listening to Ecstasy, The Transformative Power of MDMA. Why don't we start by telling us, what do those letters stand for, MDMA?
MDMA stands for methylene dioxymethamphetamine. It's a synthetic compound that was actually created in 1912, but put on the shelf and not rediscovered until the 1970s by Sasha Shulgin, who started experimenting with it and gave it to psychotherapists in his area in California. And psychotherapists found that they could use it to start treating their clients individually and also their couples.
So it was given to them as a legal substance to use that might open psychological barriers to sharing?
Exactly. Because what MDMA does, Ellen, is it floods the system with your own naturally occurring hormones, such as serotonin and oxytocin, and gives a feeling of complete safety and well-being. So the walls that sometimes couples who are in distress and who are fighting all the time, the walls that they build to keep each other out, get temporarily for that time that they are high together with MDMA, that those walls come down and they can get back in touch with the kind of love that brought them together in the first place.
Well, that's an interesting topic, because my own parents, my father passed over just recently, within this year. God bless him. 94, the day of his passing, he was still running, literally running around, driving, going out to eat, going dancing, drinking, and beating everyone in the pool hall. In fact, one of his pool friends, when he heard about my dad's passing, came up to me and said, "Wow, now I'm not going to get a rematch till I get to heaven." So that's the kind of person my dad was. I mean, what a great way to go.
Absolutely.
Active, 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 healthy, 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 never took a drug, never hospitalized, no wheelchairs, no nursing homes, and just boom, boom, gone. But
God bless
thing
him.
Is, he and my mom's 91 now, and she's still with us, I have to say, they fought. I mean, fought every day. I remember as a child, my father, who was Spanish and had a hot temper, slamming a plate of spaghetti against the wall. And then we would know they had a fight because she would bring in the most expensive contractor possible to repair whatever damage he caused. This went on for years. And, you know, when I was a child, I was frightened by all that. But apparently it didn't bother them. More recently, in their 80s and 90s, they still fought all the time. But now when I was there, it wasn't as physical, so it toned down. Nothing else was getting broken. I think it cost my dad too much money. And but they still seemed to, what I would say with an older, you know, in my 70s watching it, was, hey, this works for them. And they thrive on this conflict. And they're still together.
Sometimes it works for people. That's right. It certainly made them feel more alive.
I would say. And they would, you know, so now my mom is in deep mourning. Having lost him, of course. But going back in your own history, Charles, what made you go into the field of psychotherapy? Something must have drawn you to that to begin with.
Well, I'm glad you asked me that, because in relation to your father's longevity and your mother's too, I didn't find my field until age 40. I had a midlife crisis at age 40. I was an executive recruiter. I was earning more money than I knew what to do with, but I felt empty inside. And I really took a look at, you know, what how I wanted to spend the second half of my life, and I realized that becoming a psychotherapist was really more aligned with my values of trying to be a part of the solution instead of part of the problem, to try to help people. And I make a positive difference in the world. And so that's how I got into it. And I've done my major growth in my own life through my own being in therapy myself, as well as with the use of psychedelic compounds when I use them appropriately and responsibly, including MDMA.
So first you became a psychotherapist, and then you learned that incorporating these kinds of substances, which led to you writing the book where people can find out more, listening to ecstasy, the transformative power of MDMA. So, you know, it was sort of a path, an ongoing path.
That's right. And I should clarify, I don't use it in my practice. Currently, MDMA is still illegal. It will probably be made legal again by 2023 when the FDA will approve it as a prescription medication because of the clinical trials that are going on. But it's still illegal, so I don't use it in my practice. But circling back to what your parents went through, my wife and I found that MDMA can serve as emotional superglue for relationships. Can bond us on a very deep and profound level. It's deepened our relationship, and it's sort of been the frosting on our cake. It's
so
made things so much sweeter.
So when you got together with your wife, which has been also a while, right?
We've been together 20 years.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a substantial amount of time. It's not 3 months. Mm-hmm. So did you begin this journey of using MDMA together, or were you already using that?
I had already used it, but I'd given up on it in the 90s before I met her, and was really moving on. But she had been out of a long marriage, felt very repressed and suppressed in her marriage. She was 50 years old. She wanted to spread her wings and live life. And when she learned that I had a history with experimenting with psychedelics, she said she wanted to try MDMA. And so I tried it with her, and we found that it was an extraordinary addition to our relationship. When it first hit her, that first time, it looked to me like she was waking up from a long sleep. Her whole life opened up, and she really learned how to love herself as well as me in new and profound ways.
So you found that as a relationship enhancer, it was very, very positive.
Yes, I call MDMA the chemical of connection, because it connects one with themselves and with a loved one and with the world at large. So it really helps you connect in a very deep and abiding way with somebody that you care about.
Well, that kind of chemical that you're talking about, which opens your mind to certain levels of consciousness, certainly sounds very similar to other things, such as, let's say, psilocybin mushrooms and LSD. What makes this different, or is it in fact the same in terms of that kind of experience?
Great question, Ellen. It's really different. I mean, they're all roughly classed under the name of psychedelics, but MDMA is really much more user-friendly than psilocybin or LSD. It had no hallucinations. You're completely in control. You could be out and about. Though I wouldn't recommend that if you did it the first time. But you could be out and about, and people would just be thinking that you're having a nice day. You know what you're doing, you know what you're saying, and you're in control. And so that's a big difference, because a hefty dose of LSD or psilocybin, and you had better sit down and relax, and because you don't know what might be coming, and it might be a terrific and a wonderful opening and educational experience, but you might not feel so in control.
Now, what about something else that's really taking the world by storm in the last few years, especially in the shamanistic community, and that's ayahuasca? What are your feelings about ayahuasca?
Well, I've tried ayahuasca 3 times. It's really known as the queen of psychedelics. It's the most powerful. It's the least recreational. You can't use it recreationally. It's best done by a shaman, and not somebody who's just calling themselves a shaman, but somebody who is really very well trained and can guide you through the experience. It's done ceremonially. It's incredibly hallucinogenic. And it can be a very profoundly healing experience if you're in the right circumstance.
And let's talk also about the fact that, is it possible with any of these, they're all psychoactive substances, would you agree? Even though they're different classes.
But yes.
So they do change your perception of your reality. And you're talking about the very positive aspects, which we'll discuss especially in terms of communication within couples. That's something that you're a real expert at. But what about some of the downsides?
Specifically of MDMA?
Yeah, that would be a good start, because that's your specialty and your book.
Downsides, there are risks involved. For example, if you have a heart condition or epilepsy or suffer from bipolar disorder, you should not do MDMA. If you suffer from schizophrenia, paranoia, you should not do MDMA. Also, you need to be only using pure MDMA, and for that you need a testing kit, which you can get legally and online from an organization called dancesafe.org. Get a testing kit to make sure it's pure MDMA only. And you need a scale so that you measure it out, and you'd never take more than 120 milligrams. So these are risks associated with MDMA use. But you also have to make sure that you hydrate adequately during the experience. You're not going to feel thirsty, but you need to drink water. A maximum of a liter of water during the whole day. And so these are things that will help you have a good experience. But as far as downsides, some people are disappointed that it's not like LSD or psilocybin or ayahuasca. It's not an overwhelming experience. Some people, until they're guided and to know exactly how to use it, they might think, okay, I just feel wonderful, but so what? What do I do with this? I don't know what to do with this. So if you don't know the territory and you don't know what how to use it, it can be a disappointing experience.
But it's not likely to cause a psychotic break, like LSD certainly does in the wrong person.
In the wrong person or in the wrong circumstance, LSD or psilocybin can cause a psychotic break. Yes, on rare occasions it does do that. MDMA is much safer.
Well, thank you for that. We're going to go just for a little break right here. And when we come back, we continue this fascinating discussion with our guest, Charlie Wininger. He is a psychotherapist. You can find him at charliewininger.com. That's charliewininger.com. But don't worry, because all of our shows here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and in fact on PRN in general, are archived. So it's good to just come visit the archive, and we'll actually have Charlie Wininger's contact right as a click, so you don't have to, you know, try to spell it correctly. But we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Progressive Radio Network, and you can always find Progressive Radio at prn.fm. And you can always find me, Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, at naturalnurse.com. And I invite you to go there anytime. You can connect with us there. Also, Facebook, The Natural Nurse. And if you go to naturalnurse.com and then calendar, you will see 5 or 6 classes coming up, like within the next week or so. We have so many of them going on now. Tons of information. Some of them have a small fee. Most of them are 100% free. You can just sign up for them. And if they are given at times that does not fit your schedule, once you sign up, the organizations running these things will always send you a link so you can visit the information at your own leisure. And today we're so happy to have as our guest Charlie Wininger, the author of Listening to Ecstasy, The Transformative Power of MDMA. He's a psychotherapist in private practice and licensed as a psychoanalyst as well as a mental health counselor. And we're having a fascinating discussion about this substance, which also, I would say, is known as ecstasy. That's why you have that as the name of your book. Is that true, Charlie?
That's right. Yes.
Now, is it also known on the street as something called Molly?
What's sold on the street as Molly is often adulterated MDMA. My book is, and my experience is only with pure MDMA.
Oh, okay. That's excellent. So that's good information. Is a difference. Now, how would somebody, you know about the difference?
Well, they wouldn't unless they had a testing kit. And that's why I emphasize that you should only do pure MDMA, and you need a testing kit to make sure it's pure. And you can get one online legally and not too expensive at an organization called dancesafe.org, which is a nonprofit.
Now, what about the organization that you're involved with, Charlie? This is an easy one to remember. It's called MAPS, MAPS, like you're going somewhere, MAPS.org. And it is a multidisciplinary association for psychedelic studies. Tell us about that.
Yes, the head of it, Rick Doblin, is going to be at my book launch this coming Friday night. My book comes out today, by the way.
Oh, how wonderful, appropriate that we're all together.
I'm very excited about that. So MAPS is a wonderful organization. They are the ones that have been funding the research, the legal, federally approved research on people with post-traumatic stress disorder, mostly returning veterans from the Iraq War, victims of sexual violence, who suffer from severe PTSD and who have responded to no other treatment. And they've been experimenting and with clinical trials, double-blind clinical trials, giving them MDMA interspersed with sober therapy sessions. And after two or three MDMA sessions and several sober sessions, they no longer meet the qualifications for PTSD.
Wow, that's large, very impressive.
A large percentage of them, well over 60%. And a year later, without any further treatment, that figure goes up to 76%, who no longer meet the qualifications for PTSD. So it's saving lives. And that's why the FDA is fast-tracking this research so that it can become a prescription medication in a couple of years.
So that's interesting, because something like cannabis, especially in terms of CBD isolates, actually have been approved as a prescription medication. But it's very hard to get it because you have to meet certain parameters, such as you have to be a child who has uncontrollable seizures. And so even though it's available as a prescription drug, it's not widely used because of the restrictions on the prescribing.
Depends which state you're in, of course. New York State has a fairly conservative law. New Jersey just passed legalization. Other states around the country, of course, have legalized or decriminalized it.
That's true. But yet it's also a prescription drug. So that becomes interesting. I imagine if this moves forward to a prescription drug, it will have parameters which it could be used specifically for specific things like PTSD, let's say, but yet not for something else that it might also be useful for, at least not through the prescription.
Well, it will also have what they call off-label uses, so that people will, and doctors will then, once they're educated about it, be able to prescribe it to people for a whole range of maladies. MDMA is really good for treating anxiety, depression, and some addictions, certainly social anxiety, and what I call the epidemic of loneliness in this country and alienation that we see all around us. Because MDMA is, like I said, it's called, I call it the compound, the chemical of connection. It helps you connect with yourself and urges you to connect with others. And the community of people who are involved in experimenting with this medicine are among the most wonderful people that you'd ever want to meet. That's what my wife and I have discovered in the last 20 years. When we started out, we found ourselves entering a forbidden world of psychedelic drug users and found it to be enchanted with highly, very open-minded, open-hearted people. And it opened up our lives to friendship and fun and freedom and wonderful long-term friendships.
But should it be used, whether it be eventually legalized or now used in controlled situations, versus someone with PTSD who's very challenged very often in their relation to dealing with things to begin with, should they just go and, you know, get some on the street and take it on their own?
I would not suggest it, because... because if you don't know what you're doing, it could really be a problem for you. I as I like to say, Ellen, I don't suggest it, but I also know I can't stop people, and we can't stop people from doing what they want to do, and many people are desperate. So that's part of the reason I wrote this book, because it includes a guide to safe use and about the benefits and the risks and how to do it right. And if you don't do it right, you shouldn't do it at all. But there are certainly guidelines that have been developed over the past 30, 40 years to know how to minimize the risks and maximize the benefits.
And also, that would be great. Would it be a good idea? Would you suggest that people get in touch with MAPS.org for more information?
It's a wonderful organization. Their website is highly informative, and it will tell you a lot about MDMA, especially from the research and scientific point of view.
Now, also, charleywininger.com, charleywininger.com.
W-I-N.
Did I miss that? So, again, people can visit the website and get that live link. But now, you can do psychotherapy with or without necessarily someone being able to access a particular substance.
Well, yes. I mean, I do. I mean, I practice, and both people in the room, in the therapy room, are sober. Me and my patient, or the three of us, if I'm treating a couple. I don't do medically assisted psychotherapy, although there are underground therapists who do. But I can't risk my license to do that. But it does inform, MDMA does inform my practice. In other words, it's really made me a better psychotherapist over the years. It's developed my ability to empathize. As a matter of fact, the first name of MDMA, before it had the name ecstasy, it was called empathy.
Oh.
And that's where the therapists in California, when it was legal in the 70s, were calling it in treating their couples, because it really opens up the heart and you can really feel into your partner, for example, and know what they're feeling. It really deepens feelings and power and the power of empathy.
So in your book, Listening to Ecstasy, The Transformative Power of MDMA, how do the chapter outlines relate to how someone would be able to use this book and learn a lot?
Well, the book is also it's a memoir, so it's about my life, but it's about also my relationship, and it goes into detail about how Shelley and I found each other, how and why we got together, and developed our relationship and built our community. The chapter is called Innocent Criminals. But there's another chapter called Higher Education, which is all about the drug called MDMA, although I prefer the term medicine, and how it came to be, and the risks and the benefits. One of the later chapters is called Senior High.
Oh, that's a great name.
Thank you. Because we've found that MDMA is really of great use across the entire adult lifespan. It's great with transitions. It can help you open up your life at any time in your life. Like I say, I didn't find my calling as a therapist till age 40 and didn't find the love of my life until I was 51. And MDMA has helped me realize that I can go through transitions and it's never too late to discover a new way to live and to open up one's life. And so the chapter on aging really shows that MDMA yields long-term benefits, or at least it has for us and the people we know. I can't guarantee that it would do it for anybody else, but these are claims that I just make about myself and my wife and the friends that we have. And it has cumulative effects. We've over the past 20 years, we've done it about 65 or 70 times, around 4 or 5 times a year. And when it's followed by integrative work, especially it really can have a lasting effect. In other words, psychedelic work and psychotherapy are synergistic with each other. One helps the other. So they're very, very useful and good across the whole adult lifespan, and helps us stay young and not only experience the depth of connection, but helps us understand that that play and fun can be transformative experiences in their own right.
So even though, you know, someone's older, it should not mean that they can't experience new feelings and new experiences.
That's right. You can open up your life at any time in your life and add new freshness to your relationship. And as we know, as we get older, sometimes things can become stale in our lives. And we've seen older people, not your father, but some older people get, you know, get narrow and sort of contract and make their lives smaller and smaller. But that doesn't have to be. We've learned in recent years about neuroplasticity, that you can...
Wait, that's a big word. So
yes.
You know what? We're going to take a little break right here.
Okay.
Because I really want to go into neuroplasticity, because the research about that is really flooding the journals at this point in time, which is a big, big concept. And it's about, you can teach old dogs new tricks.
Exactly.
So we definitely want to go into neuroplasticity. So we're going to take a little break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, so you can hear about other wonderful shows that are brought to you on Progressive Radio Network, as well as perhaps a way that you can help donate to bringing this kind of information to people all around the world. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Thank you so much for joining us today right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, and you can get in touch at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. Join us for many of the classes and workshops we have going on. Just go to naturalnurse.com calendar, and you'll see that you can easily, and in most cases free, sign up for many of our upcoming and ongoing classes and workshops. And of course, we bring you The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z every week right here on Progressive Radio Network, which is also archived. So if something that you hear that you'd like to share, just tell your friends to visit the archive. And in fact, today's very interesting show is called Listening to Ecstasy, the Transformative Power of MDMA. And we're here with author and psychotherapist Charlie Wininger. And the book actually came out today. So if you're listening to the show today, you're right at the something to celebrate. And you know, I'm looking at this really interesting table of contents you have that we will visit. But what about that word neuroplasticity, Charlie? What does that mean?
It means just really, to put it in the most fundamental terms, like you said earlier, Ellen, you can teach an old dog new tricks. They found out that contrary to what used to be held as fact, we've learned that the mind has an ability to expand and grow new cells and learn new things across the entire adult lifespan.
And that was something that my dad, who I spoke about earlier, he used to say every night when he came home from work, one of the things we had to do as children, sit down with him and tell him something new we learned. Every single day. It could be anything. It could be that the garbage can cover doesn't fit, you know, anything. But something that we came across during our day, we had to remember something new and share that with him. And I think that has been, for in me and my life, really part of, you know, never stop learning, which is certainly something you're talking about.
Yes. And that's what a blessing to grow up with a father like that. That sounds wonderful. And yes, so he had the right idea, and he understood that we can always learn things. The only way we don't learn things is if we believe we can't and we shut our minds and our lives down, but we don't have to do that.
Right, so that's called closed-mindedness, and I don't think it's necessarily age-related.
Correct. No, it's not.
Some people have a certain view of the world, and no matter what you show them in terms of proof, it's still going to be there. So I just don't even, I don't bother with those people. That's fine. It's fine if they'd like to live within those restrictions. But it also usually often leads to things like pain, where what you're talking about is increasing joy.
Yes, that's right. And I've learned that joy and its companion called play and playfulness are available to us at any stage in life. And Shelley and I have a playful relationship and have a lot of joy as well. And it's not just through the use of MDMA, it's just the way we approach life. But MDMA helps add a sense of freshness to relationships. And like I said before, we find interesting adult friends of all ages who also like to have fun and explore their pain and be involved in their own healing. The MDMA promotes sort of an openness, an optimism, an expansiveness, a desire to connect at a time when otherwise it can be an encroaching rigidity and social constrictions. So we find it to be a useful tool.
And like you said, there's a lot of very serious research going on. But outside of the research, you're talking also about true, just recreation. Like people do get together and drink alcohol.
Yes, of course. I'm only talking about responsible recreational use. We prefer the term celebrational use because we're always celebrating being alive, we don't take our time on this planet for granted. We know that it's limited, and we're here to make the most of it. So we use MDMA for recreational purposes, but of course, recreational use has gotten a bad name over the years because that's when people abuse drugs like alcohol, or any drug can be abused. But I'm talking about responsible recreational use, which is what my chapter on safe use is all about.
Yeah, and even with a focus on fun, play, and joy, boy, can people really use some of that? Because I know where I live, which is an adult community in Florida, we usually had so much fun all the time. We had dances and we had just every single day. And, all that ain't happening now.
Yeah, right.
They are opening up things like tennis. And, some outside activities, if you keep your mask on. I mean, that whole concept of fun, play, and joy has been rather trampled on in recent days.
Yes, it has. Although I've spoken to many people since the pandemic hit in March who are using MDMA nevertheless, and either at couples with each other to keep their spirit alive, or help keep their spirit alive, and even with other people in group situations outdoors, masks on, 6 feet apart, and having these profound bonding experiences with friends in the park during this pandemic, and making the most out of a bad situation.
So you think participating in something that's more, watched over rather than just going out and doing it might really be useful. How has this helped your own relationship? As we only have a few minutes left, but let's talk about your relationship and what kind of depth you think it has brought to you.
Well, Shelley and I had a good relationship from the beginning, but like I say, it's sort of been frosting on our cake. It's helped us see into each other on a deeper, more empathic and compassionate level. It's added a whole other dimension of sensuality and sexuality to our relationship. And now I'm 71, she's 69 years old. And we didn't think that we could have such a blossoming sex life at this age, but we found that we could, and MDMA has helped with that, as has cannabis. So it's added new dimensions to our relationship at a time when we thought this would be a time of decline for us, and it's not. It's a time of expansiveness for us.
So that's a very exciting thing to look forward to. And what kind of, you know, other things would you like to share?
Well, what can I say? I want to say again that this has been our experience. It's not necessarily going to be anyone else's, but it's really helped us realize that we can have a life of no regrets, that we know that while we still can, we are living life to the fullest. Because MDMA is not the way, it's the compass that points the way to being open-minded and open-hearted and open to meeting new people, open to having new experiences, open to traveling externally or internally and always exploring. Oh, there's always something to explore, there's always something to heal, and there's always something we found to give. It's helped me realize that I have something to give at any given moment to the people around me. There's always an opportunity to give something to someone. And I feel most alive when I give something, when I give myself, because that's when I feel connected. And that's when I feel of use. And that's when I feel like I'm living a meaningful life. And what could be better than that?
This is so true. Well, thank you so much for spending your debut book day. And again, we're listening today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z to Charlie Wininger, who's the author of Listening to Ecstasy, The Transformative Power of MDMA. And you can find the book on Amazon. I have a copy, but I just looked on Amazon and it's right there, which is beautiful because it opens up and you can see all the wonderful chapters. Very creative and fun names that you've used for all of those. And just to remind you that MDMA is illegal. Is that in every state now, Charlie, or just in New York?
No, it's illegal in every state and will continue to be illegal for the next couple of years.
Okay, so we're not recommending for you to do any kind of illegal thing, but we're just talking about, you know, options you may want to look into for yourself. And until next time, I want to thank you so much for joining us today right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And this is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.